I want to thank you for training up Leon in the Word, helping him get an education in the Word, and being able to help me at the jail. He's been a great blessing. Everybody loves him. I love him. The officers love him. The inmates love him. And he's awesome. He's awesome. We are very blessed. So thank you so much. I was torn this morning, as I was telling Pastor when I came here. I had a testimony speaker I brought that I wanted to share his testimony. Really powerful story of him coming to Christ message. And Bruce said, no, do the message. I said, okay, at some point we do got to get him to share his testimony, though, because very powerful story. There are a lot of them. You know, we're called to be fishers of men, are we not? And I will tell you, the jail is a great fishing hole. I am telling you the truth. They're always biting. The fish are always biting. They've tried everything except God, and their lives are all beat up. It's like the good soil. It's been tilled. It's been all beat up. And when the seed, which is the word of God, falls into that soil, it germinates and gives life. And it is something great to watch, because not only do we see these inmates come to the Lord, but we watch them grow. They're going to be with us for a little while. They're not going anywhere. So we get to teach them, and they become disciples, and we plug them in churches when they get out. And it's been a great blessing. And I've been there 23 years, Bruce. 25 if you count the 2 years of time I did there as an inmate, but 23 as a chaplain. So I've served under 5 sheriffs, 1 as an inmate, 4 as a chaplain. So I wanted to draw your attention this morning to the Holy Spirit. I don't know how many of you have given thought about the Holy Spirit. Remember when Jesus left and ascended into heaven, he said, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will send a helper, a comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, who will be with you forever. The Spirit who dwells within us. I don't know if you've given it much thought, but I was asked to do a message at this, on the Holy Spirit, rather, at a church some time ago. And as I was giving it some thought and reflecting and, you know, meditating, there was a lot of things about the Holy Spirit. Too numerous to do in a 30 or 40 minute message. But I'm just going to share some things that I think are of importance. We're going to enter into the spiritual realm. As I was looking at it, I began with the word spirit and was thinking about spirit and what the Bible says. You know, there are a lot of types of spirits in the Bible. You know that? There are evil, unclean, demonic spirits, all one and the same, all fallen angels. Because as the worship leader mentioned, they cannot sing the song redeemed. Once they fell, they cannot be redeemed. Their fate is doom. And they became, well, the leader, Satan, who was Lucifer, the most beautiful angel. And they became these demons, or these unclean demonic spirits. So there's one type of spirit. The unclean, evil, demonic spirits, again, all one and the same. The devil, same thing. They're all fallen angels. Angels are spirits. If you want to open your Bible, if you want to turn to Hebrews chapter 1, you'll read in chapter 1 at the end, verses 12 and 13, I think it is, that with regard to the angels, the writer, we think it's Paul, nobody's really sure, but we're pretty sure it's Paul. He writes in verse 13, verse 14, regarding angels, he says, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? What are angels? They are spirits. They minister to God or serve God. They minister to us or serve us. So the unclean, evil, demonic spirits are one type of spirit. The angels are another type of spirit. There's a lot going on behind the scenes is what I want to say. We don't know what a spirit is. You know, I think of Casper, the friendly ghost, all right? Little sheep flying around with a couple eyes, has a smiley face. We don't know what spirit is. God is spirit. Can I get an amen? And those that worship him must worship how? In spirit and in truth. So there's a lot going on besides the here and now. There's a lot going on behind the scenes. And it involves these different types of spirits. Again, the unclean, evil, demonic spirits, the angels who are spirits. Again, Jesus says God is spirit. Man has a spirit. I'm a trichotomist. I don't know where Bruce is on this, but, you know, there's a couple different thoughts. There's the trichotomy, there's the dichotomy. Nothing to lose sleep over. Don't worry. But one believes that man is made up of a body, a soul, and a spirit. The other believes that man is made up of a body, and soul and spirit, they just squish them together. Again, nothing to lose sleep over. One is material, the body. The others are immaterial. But that's who we are. When you die, as a matter of fact, when someone dies, the Greek word thanatos has the connotation of separation. When the Bible says the wages of sin is death, it means the wages of sin is separation. Separates you from God. When someone dies, there is separation. The body stays. We bury it. We cremate it. Whatever. But you, the person you are, spirit and soul, will live forever and will become like the elevator. You will either be going up or down. But you will live forever. And that's who you are without any flesh on. One day that's going to happen unless he returns. So man has a spirit, I believe. The reason I believe that is 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Paul writes that may God preserve your body, soul, and spirit. Again, two different Greek words, two different Hebrew words. Soul and spirit, they're different. Some don't think so. I do. They're different. Romans 8:16. Again, Paul writes that the Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. Is everybody getting this? So again, the spiritual realm, angels are spirit, ministering spirits, evil, demonic, unclean spirits, fallen angels, the devil, fallen angel, spirit. God is spirit. People have a spirit. And finally, Jesus says in John 6:63 that the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. That's just the word spirit. But then there is the Holy Spirit. Now the word holy, its primary meaning, hagios, is pure. So there is the pure spirit. And that's what we call the Holy Spirit. Who is he? He is God. I'll call your attention to chapter 5 of the book of Acts. If you want to turn there, but I'll just read it. Acts chapter 5, verse 1, a man named Ananias, along with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge, and bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, this is not a bad thing, all right? You got some property, you got some money, you want to give it to the church. This is not a bad thing. I encourage you to do that. But these people said it was the whole thing. It was the whole price. It was not. They were pocketing some of it, but they said it was the whole thing. That was their problem. So as we read on, verse 3, Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Who is the Holy Spirit? He is God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are the one true living God. Everybody with me? That is the one, the Holy Spirit, now that we're talking about. This is the one who dwells in you. Some of you need to chew on this for a while. We're talking about the God of the universe dwelling in you. Now, this is, most of you are grabbing this. Most of you have been here, and I've seen you. I know you're Christians. I know you've been worshiping a while. You know the Word. You know God. But for the new believer or someone new in the faith, this is kind of hard. It's hard to kind of understand these three being one. The closest I've come to defining this or to helping someone understand this, devoid of the Spirit, or even as a baby Christian, is, you know, water. Water comes pretty close to defining the Trinity. I shouldn't say pretty close. It comes close. I shouldn't say pretty close. Nothing really comes close. But water can be fluid. We can drink it. We can swim in it. We can wash clothes, whatever. But it can also be thrown in the freezer and become solid or ice. We can also take it, put it in a pan and boil it, and it'll turn into steam or vapor. And if you hold a cover over it, the steam will hit the cover, turn right back into water, fall back down again. So with water, whether it is fluid, solid, or steam or vapor, these three are one in essence. They are all H2O. Is everybody with me? So too, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These three are one in essence. They are the one true living God. So who is the Holy Spirit? He is God. What does he do? Well, he opens eyes. In John chapter 3, when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, he enlightens him and tells him that unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Maybe you've experienced this. You've been witnessing to someone. And you've been trying to tell them about God, and they're listening to you, and they're looking at you like you got three heads. They're just like, what? You believe somebody, God came down, was walking around here? He died, he rose again. You believe that? Again, without the Spirit of God, the Bible says, they cannot see the kingdom of God. It's not they may not, they cannot. Unless God does something, nothing is going to happen. Everybody got this? When you're praying for someone who's lost, pray that God would send his Spirit and open their eyes. Because the Bible tells us that the God of this world, small g, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, lest they should see the glorious gospel. Again, just as there are ministering spirits who do good, there are also ministering evil spirits who do bad. But let's get back to the Holy Spirit. What does he do? He opens eyes. And then in verse 5, he tells Nicodemus that unless one is born of water and of the Spirit of God, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So the Holy Spirit opens eyes so that one can enter the kingdom of God. That's what the Holy Spirit does. We cannot do this without him. He opens eyes and he allows people to enter the kingdom of God. Again, two things have to happen. You must be born of water. We're not talking about baptism. You may have heard some preachers talk about that. That's not even close. We're not talking about baptism. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but the first 9 months of your life, do you realize you and I were Aquaman? You laugh, but I'm dead serious. You and I were living in a sack of water, amniotic fluid to be exact. Try living underwater today for a couple minutes, see how you make out. You know, this is how God ordained it. That this man and woman would come together and bones would start being formed in the womb of a woman. But again, two things must happen. You must be born first of water or of the flesh, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. So who is the Holy Spirit? He is God. What does he do? He opens eyes. He allows one to enter into the kingdom of God. He also convicts people of sin. When Jesus was asked about the Holy Spirit in John 16:8, he said he would send the Holy Spirit to convict the world of sin. What is the major sin he convicts us of? The sin of unbelief. He convicts us of unbelief. And he enables a person to see who God is and then to see who we are and that we need him. We need him. He allows us to see our sin. It happened to me in jail. When they don't give you a Bible in school, but if you go to jail, they give you one. Isn't that great? That's the world for you. Bright as can be. Anyway, I opened the Bible in jail, and I was immediately convicted. I was convicted. It said, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And I realized, I've done all these things, and I've been doing them all my life. And then I read, these will be cast into outer darkness. There will be weeping, gnashing of teeth. And I realize, he's talking about hell. I'm in trouble. And so I go to the chapel. And I listen to the sermon. And when I'm done, I tell the chaplain, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. What's the matter? I've been reading this book. I've been doing all these sins. They're going to be cast into outer darkness, weeping, gnashing of teeth. I said, are we talking about hell? He said, yes, we are. You need to be saved. And when he said that, the officer looked at me and said, come on, kid, move it. And the chap said, wait a minute. Do you believe Jesus died for your sins? I said, yeah, I believe that, chap. But look at, I got a lot of them. I'm 28 years old. I've been doing this stuff all my life. He said, Jesus Christ died once and for all for the sins of the world. He said, when you go back to your cell, you get on your knees. And you say, God, I know I'm a sinner. But I believe Jesus died on that cross for my sins. I believe he was buried. He rose again. I want you to come into my life. I went back to my cell and did that all day long. And God began to change me. His spirit began to open my eyes. The first thing I was convicted of was cigarettes. In the old jail, you could smoke. And I smoked for 20 years. And I went to light one up and it felt dirty. And I didn't know why. So I threw it in the toilet and I grabbed my Bible. Is there anything in here about cigarettes? You know? There's nothing. No, there ain't cigarettes down in there. But I read this verse, 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit whom you have from God? And you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Namely, the precious blood of Jesus. Therefore, glorify God with your body. And so as I read that and chewed on it and thought about it, I realized, if God is in me, I probably shouldn't be pumping this stuff in. And right at that moment, the guy next door says, hey, you got a smoke over there? I said, yeah, you know what? I should have thrown in the toilet, but I was young, I was dumb. I passed through the bar, I said, hey, keep them, I'm done. I gave him my pack, that was it. Last time I ever smoked. Then we went to marijuana, cocaine, drinking, swearing, gambling, fighting. God took away all these habits because they were sins that the God of the universe had to come down, take on flesh, and take my beating, shed his blood to wash him away. And I was not about to continue and keep kicking sand in his bloody face. I just couldn't do it. So God began molding and shaping me, just as he did in the womb and with the water. Even as we're born again, he molds and shapes us to be men and women of God. Can I get an amen? Amen. Who is he? He's the Holy Spirit. He's God. What does he do? He opens eyes. He convicts people of their sin. Three more verses, we're done. Go to John. If you want to do this on your own and see what God has to say about the Holy Spirit or from Jesus' lips himself, you'll find John 14, 15, 16 enlightening, because these three chapters talk about what Jesus says regarding the Holy Spirit. Before he leaves, before he ascends to heaven, he's going to send a comforter. I'm just going to pull out a couple verses, we're done. Start with John 14. Let's look at verses 15 through 17. Jesus states, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you, how long? Forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him nor know him, but you know him because he abides with you and he will be where? In you. The God of the universe lives in the believer. That's why you see things that other people don't. Can I get an amen? That's why you hear things that other people don't. That's why you do things that other people don't. Because God is living in you. And he's moving you by his Spirit. And this Spirit needs to be fed. What does the Spirit love? The Word of God. We have a saying in the jail, no Bible, no breakfast. You've got to feed the Spirit. You have to feed the Spirit. He loves truth. By the way, you love truth. You love truth. This is what you've been looking for all your life, is truth. And God says, thy word is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. This is what our souls and spirit is starving for, and the world can't come up with it. They tell us all these fairy tales, Santa Claus, the Tooth Fairy, the Big Bang, and we're all grown up germs from goo to you by way of the zoo. And we buy it. We buy it. You know? I'm telling you, we're starving for truth. We're starving for truth. We're starving. And this word is truth. This word, I don't make this word come alive. This word makes me come alive. And every time I open it, I know God is talking to me. Is he talking to you? You know, Martin Luther always had his Bible open. I remember somebody was selling a portrait of Martin Luther, and they were bidding on it at an auction, and somebody jumped up and said, it's a fake, it's a fake, it's a fake. Because it showed Martin Luther with his Bible like this. He says, it's a fake. How did he know it was a fake? You got it, honey. It was not open. If it was Martin Luther, the book would have been open. I don't care if the guy was riding a horse. He's got the book open. I leave it on my bed at night, open. Because it is the Word of God. It's what we need. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Where are they found? And the sacred scripture that everybody has. Number one bestseller every year. Every year, number one bestseller. Also least read, but bestseller. Everybody's going to have one. They're going to put pictures in it and flowers and let it collect dust up on the shelf. We got to open it. We need these words. We need truth. We're starving. Two more verses. John 14, verse 26. The one pastor read. Jesus said regarding the Holy Spirit, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you some things, most things, all things, and bring to your remembrance some, most, all that I said to you. Have you ever been in a situation, you're talking to someone or you're observing something, I don't care, whatever you're doing, and all of a sudden, bang, Bible verse pops in your head. Ever happened to you? Happens to me all the time. What does it say? The Holy Spirit brings to remembrance. I remember when I got out of jail, I was an iron worker. I built skyscrapers in Boston, and I went back on the iron, and I built us building a skyscraper. And when I was done, you sit on the beam, and you fill in the rest of the bolts. When you're putting it together, you just put one bolt in each one, hang it all up so everybody can work. You know. But when you're all done, you stuff the rest of the holes, waiting for another job. So I'm looking on 50th floor down at the people on the ground, And when you're up that high, 50 stories, and it's lunchtime in Boston, everybody's out, it looks like ants. You ever seen swarms of ants? That's what it looks like up high. And I remember looking at these people, you know, thousands, thousands of them. And a verse pops into my head. The Holy Spirit brought to remembrance a verse when Jesus looked upon the multitudes with compassion. Because he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And so I looked and I said, Lord, how many of these people are saved? Again, the Holy Spirit brought to remembrance truth, the Word of God. When Jesus said, broad is the way and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many there be that enter therein. But straight is the gate, now is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. What was the answer? How many are saved, Lord? The answer was not many. Not many. And here I am sitting on top of the world, literally, and I know the way. Not a way. I know the way, the truth, and the life. And as Paul said, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I know there's only one way out, or people will burn and scream forever, and I know the way, woe to me if I keep my mouth shut. Well, I remember looking around up there in the iron. I looked at that building. I built that one. I built that one. I built that one over there. But the Holy Spirit brought to remembrance the back of the book, where John saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the old one had passed away. And I began thinking, if I keep building buildings, and one day God's going to level this place, that means I will work my whole life for nothing. But I know that the Word of God abides forever. And I got to share the Word of God. And so I prayed and prayed, and God led me into college, back to school, 35 years old, with two little kids, two more on the way while we were out in college. Did God provide? Yes, he did. And I was able to preach the gospel in the very place where I found him. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He brings to remembrance all that Jesus taught. And when you hear the Word of God, when God's sharing, you know, bringing to remembrance a verse or whatever, act on it. Act on it. Remember, this is not a religion. It's a relationship. Can I get an amen? Anybody can pray to God, but only a Christian can pray to their Father who art in heaven. When he speaks, listen. Make sure your Bible's open. Last verse, John 15, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Bible sent from the Father, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. What does the Spirit do? He talks about Jesus. Do you have a hard time not talking about Jesus? I do. When I came to faith, man, I had a really hard time talking about Jesus. I mean, my mother at one point said, will you stop talking about Jesus? You know, she didn't learn a visit, you know, she got really mad. I was like, Mom, you know, all right, I'll try, you know. But I mean, I was just in love with Jesus. I mean, he saved my soul. He took away all my sins. I don't have to worry about what happens when I drop dead. I know where I'm going, you know, and I want you to go there. But I couldn't stop talking about Jesus. Because quite frankly, I'm in love with him. And when you're in love, it shows. He will bear witness of me. And then John 16, 2 verses, 13, 14. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Remember, this is what we're starving for. He will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. Verse 14, he will glorify me. Let me just say this without no disrespect to the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit does not talk about himself. You may have some Pentecostal friends. Have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you received the Holy Spirit? You know, you're speaking tongues. The Spirit does not talk about himself. He will glorify who? Jesus. He talks about Jesus. Because there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we what? We must be saved. God gave him the name Jesus. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth and will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is why we're here. Just to be reminded that as you enter to worship, you will depart to serve. And people are going to be starving for truth. And you have it. And you've got to share it. There was a famous Indian chief. I shouldn't say Indian chief, but some kind of chief way out in the jungles of Africa. And he was very infamously known for killing people. And he was a vicious warrior. And he killed a lot of people. And a missionary went out there and shared Christ with this tribe and the chief. And they all came to know the Lord and became this godly community. And when a reporter of a prominent newspaper got word of it back here in the States, she got permission, got the money, and flew out to do a story on this famous chief. So while she was at the airport waiting for the plane, she began some small talk with another guy waiting for a ride, and she mentioned she was going to interview this chief, and he said, I know this guy. I heard about this guy. I know who you're talking about. She said, really? What can you tell me? He said, well, just like you said, he was a vicious warrior. Somebody came out, shared the gospel, he got saved, he's on fire, the tribe, they worship God, they're on fire. He said, but if you go out there, do me a favor. Ask him what happened a few weeks ago. Because I heard that he had a vicious confrontation with another tribe member and it got hot. And he ended up killing the guy. And she said, really? He said, yeah, you ought to put that in your notes. So she writes it down. So she gets in her plane, comes, she rides out there, her interpreter comes, they go out in the jungle, they find this chief, they begin the interview, and to the interpreter she asks all these questions, and he stumbled trying to find the words and everything, but she finally got through the interview, and then she says, chief, I just got one more question to ask you. I understand that I was told, rather, that I heard not long ago, You were in a vicious confrontation with another tribe member, and it got heated. You got in a fight. You ended up killing this guy. Is that true? And he looked down at the ground for a while, and he lifted his head and said, and nodded, yes, it is true. And she said, well, what happened? And he stumbled with words. He didn't know how to say it. He said, it's almost like I have these two bears inside of me. One is a vicious bear and one is a panda bear. And the reporter said, so the vicious bear came out. He said, yes, that's what happened. So she's writing it down. She's thinking, she says, well, chief, how do you know then in any given moment, any given circumstance, how do you know which bear is going to come out? And he thought for a moment. And he said, I know. It's the one I feed. The one I feed is the one that comes out. You see, if I open the word and I feed the good bear with truth, the Holy Spirit's going to come out. But if I close the book and watch the boob tube and sex and violence, that's all it sells. Just keep clicking it and keep filling your mind with garbage. Guess which one's going to come out? This is not hard. Again, we're starving for truth. The Word of God is truth. Jesus is truth. The Holy Spirit is God. He lives in you. He's moving you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. How you doing? How you doing? There are people God puts in our lives every day. There'll be some in the restaurant today. There'll be some in your family, some neighbors, some in the workplace. They're starving for truth. They may write you off at first. They might say, take a hike. But if God's Spirit works on them and keeps eating at them and keeps eating at them and keeps eating at them, they're going to come back and say, can you tell me where that was again in the Bible? And we lead them to Christ. So the Holy Spirit, who is He? He is God. What does He do? He opens eyes. He allows people to enter into the kingdom of God. He convicts us of our sin. He brings to remembrance all that Jesus taught us. He leads and guides us and tells us when to open our mouth, when not to, who to pray for, and all for His glory and honor. Can I get an amen? Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you that you so loved the world, you would send your Son, your only Son, to take our beating, to shed His blood, to wash away the sins of the world, that whosoever believing in you will not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, thank you again for your Son and for your Spirit whom you sent. As your Son ascended to the right hand of the Father, your Spirit came to live and dwell in the believer. Help us to be sensitive to the Spirit and His leading. Help us to open the Word and to let Him speak. Thank you for the truth that only you can share. The world is not doing it. The world ain't got it. They just ain't got it. And we need this truth. And we need to share it. And by your Spirit, we will. In Jesus' name, amen.